Okay, so we'll resume now. And we're back in the finance portion with budgets. Ms. Rosenberg? As it happened, one wished to speak. And well, occasionally that does happen. So not very often, so don't get used to it. I would like to say I recall which budget is next on tap, but I leave that to your discretion because we did move them around a bit yesterday, so please take it away.
All right. Well, using a little bit of latitude on the scheduled agenda, we actually are going to move to the budget of our host station.
Okay, gentle people, I can hear a lot of crosstalk, which makes it difficult to listen to the designated speaker.
Let's stay on the budget.
People, excuse me, please.
Point of personal privilege.
Could we please have order, which means side conversations kept to a sufficient minimum that we can hear what's happening. Okay. Thank you. Are you
all
good?
All right, so the budget that is, that is under consideration now is the WPFW budget for the host station that we are visiting. Before I talk briefly about this budget and its trajectory from the business office at WPFW through the LSB and through the NFC, at which point it has come to you, I did get a request just to briefly summarize the timeline the NFC has been working under, so I'm just going to briefly restate that. The first bit of business that the NFC engaged upon this year when we started meeting in March of 2011 was to set up a timeline for the budget cycle because we knew that there was a lot of work and it would all get exciting right about now, right before the end of the fiscal year. So we pulled out an old NFC timeline from, I believe, 2008, 2009, and rejiggered it a bit, and we brought it to the PNB, I believe, at the end of March or beginning of April. And I'm happy to say that you guys passed it unanimously. And we have been operating on that timetable. It requested draft budgets to LSBs by June 30th, final approved budgets from LSBs by July 31st, and NFC action by August 31st, with budgets to you guys by September 30th. While we didn't exactly meet that timeline, and I will talk a bit about how the stations did, the NFC was allowed to give waivers and extensions based on individual station circumstances. Let's see. We received one, two, three of the six budgets that we had to process. We received on-time budgets from the Pacifica Archives that you have passed, an on-time LSB-approved budget from both Houston and Los Angeles, both of which you have now passed, a slightly extended, well, let me take that back. we received on-time LSB-approved budgets from Houston and from Washington. You have approved the Houston budget. You're now looking at the Washington budget. We received a slightly extended LSB-approved budget from Los Angeles, which you have approved, and we did not from KPFA and from WBAI, and we'll talk a bit about those budget trajectories when we get up to those budgets. So moving into WPFW, and again, I want to stress this is a GM-approved and an LSB-approved budget that came in on time, which is an example of good process. If you open to page, I don't know what page it is, but I'm going to count them off right now. It is the third budget in your handout, which I hope that most of you have brought again because I don't have any more. One, two, three, four, five. It begins on page six and runs from page six, seven, and eight. 9 and 10 also relate to PFW, so the package is pages 6 through 10. I don't want to cover ground that we've already covered. You've received a lot of information about WPFW, about the financial challenges it has faced over the past couple of years, and about the sort of monumental challenge that it will be going through in this upcoming year with an involuntary mandated move from one facility to another. This is a significant capital challenge And it certainly required a tremendous amount of thinking and planning regarding this budget. There were an enormous amount of unknowns to sort of be grappled with and a tremendous amount of scenarios and a substantial amount of risk and risk to reward ratios. I want to give some thanks to the then LSB treasurer, Bruce Wolf, who did a tremendous amount of work, and also to the WPFW manager, John Hughes, who I think was actually on the phone with the NFC for the longest period of time of any manager. And we really appreciated both his time and his thoughts and his input on this budget. Okay, before I sort of turn to the specific numbers, let me say three things about sort of the NFC process on this budget. This budget is divided into two sections. One is an operating budget, which involves revenue and expenses that are specifically linked to operations. This is basically a standard budget in the format that we're familiar with receiving it. In addition, you will see that capital expenses related specifically to the move are separately categorized in something called capital income. So basically what you have is an operating budget and a capital budget. And the reason for that is that the expenses are so extraordinary. The capital budget is, in fact, in its most optimistic form, 50% of the station's entire operating budget, that it really did require some separate thinking about and some separate accounting in terms of how that specific challenge would be met. Obviously, none of our stations is operating with a $700,000 surplus. So we were looking at how to incorporate a remarkable one-time expense into an ongoing operating budget. So two things happened. The first was that I think I can speak for the NFC in saying that we were walking a very fine line in terms of wanting to be supportive of the challenges that WPFW is facing, wanting to be optimistic in sharing their hope and vision and dream and idea that this move will bring good things and is a challenge that can be met. And we also didn't want to be so fluffy-headed and hopeful that we came in with a budget that did not reflect the full extent of the challenge that was being faced and the reality that as hard as we work, sometimes we succeed and sometimes we don't. So the first thing that happened is we asked some hard questions about where does WPFW go and what happens if the capital campaign is not as successful as planned. What happens if we raise half the money that we're hoping to raise? What happens if we do raise it but it takes twice as long as anticipated? We asked WPFW management to go back and think about this and give us a contingency plan for what that would look like. You will find that on pages 9 and 10 of your package. And just to sort of summarize specifically what it is a sort of a moving or a transition plan for approximately 50% of the amount of the full capital plan that involves a temporary studio option. This is not something that we're advocating. This is not something that in any way we're hoping happens. But it is a contingency plan that says that WPFW sat down and thought about what the options were if the hard work that is going to go into this capital campaign doesn't get quite the results that are being hoped for. And that was something that the NFC insisted upon. The second item, which is much more minor, although it took up a fair bit of time, begins with D. You can all guess what it is. We had a certain amount of difficulty ascertaining where WPFW was going to end up on the depreciation line item. And the reason for that is that given their move, it is, and the age of their equipment, and the plans that involve basically not moving the majority of that equipment and replacing it, it was extremely hard to get a handle on what kind of depreciation burden they could expect in the upcoming year. When we practically went down what had been depreciated in the past and what was planned to move from studio to studio, it was a very small number, $5,000, in the scope of what is essentially a $2.7 million budget. So this is the part where I confess that we went back and forth about including it, not including it, et cetera. There is a line for depreciation in the capital budget. I saw, looking at this document yesterday, that I didn't put the $5,000 in there. It was, in fact, the intent of the NFC to do that, and so I am going to recommend that modification to the NFC budget, and I apologize for the fact that I just didn't put it in this particular spreadsheet. There were varieties of back and forth on the issue because we had a very hard time coming up with what was a reasonable number, and I opened the wrong spreadsheet. So apologies on that, but again, it is a very small number in the scope of this budget. So going over things, on the operations portion of the revenue, we are looking at a number of $2,036,000. It's important to say two things about that. One is that it is $2,036,010 to be exact. I'm not putting in the decimal points. It's important to say that that is a 25% increase over FY2011 revenues. It is based specifically on a ramping up of development capacity that is planned. Total operating expenses prior to shared services are $1.755 million. Anticipated shared services, $279 million, leaving an operating surplus of basically nothing, $598. It is expected that any operating surplus would immediately be contributed towards the moving expenses. I mean, that's simply a reality of what WPFW has to do. On the capital portion of the budget, they are anticipating a capital campaign for growth. There are experts being consulted and plans underway on an LSB, I believe, fundraising sort of captain. Do I have that right? Yeah. So there are some things in place to support this effort. The campaign for growth is hoped to reach a total of $400,000. As you have heard, there are some restricted funds that will be put to this purpose. In the perfect scenario in which everything goes as planned, there may also be some short-term bank financing that would be explored, and I believe that it is safe to say that that would be under the executive director's supervision, and of course before the foundation took on any financial responsibilities, that would come before the PNB. Capital expenses, as you can see, are laid out. They're almost entirely moving expenses. And we are not anticipating any surplus left over from this effort. The contingency plan and temporary studio relocation, again, is basically a contingency plan for less than half of the capital amount that's being anticipated. If it were necessary to execute the move in this fashion, I think it's important to say that 70% of those funds that are projected here are already in existence. So the requirement to go above and beyond and raise more money would be substantially more minimal. In other words, you're projecting on a contingency plan that you would need about $360,000 to carry that out. $200,000 of it is already here. So I think with that, I'm just going to ask if either, in this case, we have two NFC members from WPFW. So I'll go to Bruce and then to Campbell just to see if they have something to add. And then I guess we can start our 30-minute process.
Maybe we can do 15 and get on to the next thing on the agenda.
Yes, and if there's questions that the GM can answer since he's here, that's also an option.
Of course. We'll do whatever Q&A is necessary for the members to make a decision. Bruce, please.
One thing I was just notified of yesterday that under the capital expenses, the Heath bequest.
Thank you.
Yeah, that amount's actually been removed. I think it's been removed from all the budgets.
From all the budgets,
and,
correct.
So that's $14,600 removed. So that offsets the increase of the $5,000 depreciation we had to add in. It creates what looks like a small surplus, but in reality, we can't count anything here as a surplus. This is a major enterprise we're going to be entering into and will occupy all of our resources.
Is that it, Bruce?
Yes.
Thank you. Campbell? In a moment, Dan. Thank you. Go ahead, Campbell. Did you take a microphone, please?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. This effort that WPFW is about is a very important one, and I have served, fortunately, on another NFC, and we found that when there were substantial changes and especially increases in projections of revenue, they were looked at very closely. I think that while the projections on revenue are things that certainly we need to have happen, I unfortunately find it rather challenging to believe that we can, just in the operating revenue end of this, come up with an increase of $358,000 over what was accomplished the prior year. That's extremely difficult. There's an indication from the chair of the committee that ramping up the development, which is planned, it would have been nice if we could have seen that plan for ramping up. We have looked at and reviewed an optional situation if we aren't able to accomplish what we expect and hope. What I think may well occur in some of this is that the amount of the bank financing, which was suggested to be $169,000, that is perhaps going to be adjusted upwards to engage any shortfall, which again points to the very critical nature of Pacifica being able to show that while its financial history may not have been wonderful, that indeed what we are intending to do recognizes that and that we're going to be doing things better. I think that it was, I missed where the $5,000 of depreciation was put in, and I'm, you know, this has been a rather difficult thing to engage. I'll have a motion on that before we're done. But I think that I have great, as I mentioned earlier, that one of the four C's in credit is the character, the kind of management team that you have. And I think that at WPFW, we have certainly the leadership that is very much interested in moving forward and I think has the capability. We don't have an LSB captain. The person I think that was being referred to was the chair of our major donor group, and that was just a misnomer. So we feel very confident in this individual who has been highly successful in this area. I shall not mention his or her name because, you know, people line up outside the front door. And we're first in line, I hope. But this is something that we need to engage. Now, one of the things that and I don't want to muddy this water. We've got a whole lot of numbers in front of us. We've got a lot of things that we have to do. But I just wanted to mention these things to assure the board and our listeners that we have our heads in the game. We're going to be moving forward, and we're very serious. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Campbell. And just a note, we will kick the depreciation football around after we do the budgets, as we agreed yesterday, so we can keep things moving. I have Dan, please.
Yeah. Well,
microphone, please.
I think it's close enough.
Thank you.
I think that the WPFW budget is a very aggressive one, but like the LSV members from Washington, I feel confident in the new direction of the station. I think that the staff leadership is very strong. I think LSB leadership is very strong, and that's reflected in the delegates here. So, and I think people are being sober about Plan B and even Plan C in the event that fundraising isn't as successful as they plan to make it. And with those understandings, and with the understanding that these things can always be looked at as the year goes on, I'm going to move approval of that budget.
Thank you, Dan.
A second.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from members regarding this budget? And if there are not, then we could pass it.
Okay.
Do I have a question? Okay. Nia, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes. I thought you said you were going to pass it, because I'm only going to say no because the depreciation is in the operational budget.
Okay, and I do think we addressed that at some length yesterday. That I'm.
You're taking a vote.
So. No, I understand that. Okay, I'm just saying, like, if since what you had proposed yesterday was a global perspective on the depreciation issue, that we tackle it after the budgets as a particular item.
What
Thank
do
you.
We have to vote now.
No, we could do things without objection occasionally.
Yeah.
With one objection.
Yes, you're objecting, right? So,
but that's the only reason I want to make.
Okay, so we'll do the vote really quickly. No, he's right. No, from a parliamentary perspective, if one person, even if you're just saying I wish to abstain, just because there may be other members who do not wish to stand out in front and say that, but in fact would prefer to abstain or vote no.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just as we said yesterday, for the record, that we go on record, voicefully, who we are, how we vote.
There you go. I'm always down for that. Okay.
Kim Marie from WPFW. We're in our pledge drive. The number to call is 202-588-0893. WPFW. Hold on, kids. I got the numbers. I'm on the air every other Saturday now. All right. 202-588-0893. That's in the studio if you want to bother the on-air person. But we have a lot of folks that are out there in the lobby that are answering phones at 202-1-800-222-9739. Thank you, Campbell. 1-800-222-9739. You see, I'm giving out the house number.
WPFW.org.
WPFW.org, where we're streaming from.
Yes, Arlene.
WPFW.org for the third time. Second time, going once, going twice. We need your membership to 89.3.
We're just enthusiastic and excited, and we're looking forward to many, many calls.
Yes, they need those calls, and I do want to say congratulations to the drive yesterday. They came just a hair's breadth from reaching goal, and that was actually the very first day that they were real, real close on it. They've been very aggressive goals this time, so that's not a criticism. But yesterday was a banner day in their drive, and hopefully today will be the same, especially since I know a number of people sitting here will be pitching tonight. So we want to make sure that today equals yesterday. Weekends are traditionally the strongest time at WPFW, so it's great that they've done so well this weekend.
Thank you, Arlene. And yes, we'll be on the air pitching later and answering telephone calls. So you can, if you're listening on the stream, if you call in and donate to WPFW, you can talk to us directly. Thank you. All right. Can we call the? Oh, they're going to be calling to tell us all, as long as you pay. Okay. Madam Secretary, could you please call the roll on the approval of the WPFW budget? A yes vote approves.
Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Teresa
yes.
Allen, Jessica Apollinar,
yes.
Rodrigo Argueta,
yes.
Nia Bediaco,
no.
Wesley Bethune,
yes.
Carolyn Burden,
yes.
Who's this person? Lydia Brazon,
yes.
Bill Crozier,
yes.
Kathy Davis,
yes.
Heather Gray,
yes.
Campbell Johnson?
Yes.
Ifeo Wangaze, yes. Kimberly Orndorff?
Yes.
Laura Priebus?
Yes.
Marcel Reed?
Yes.
Some,
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Alex, no, Dan Siegel?
Yes.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Andrea Turner is excused. Bruce Wolf?
Yes.
Okay.
She's
19 yes and one no.
Thank you all for passing the WPFW budget.
Thank you.
What was the count again?
Yes,
sorry.
John, did you want to say something? Go ahead, John Hughes, General Manager.
Madam Chair, what was the count again?
19 yes and one no. No abstentions. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr.
Madam
Hughes.
Madam Chair, I'd like to thank you and the entire board for your confidence, for your support, and thank you so much on behalf of a grateful staff, LSB, Community Advisory Board, and most especially our listeners and members. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, beautiful. Thank you so much. Excellent job, everybody. Next budget, Madam Treasurer. Please. Enjoy that happy feeling we have right now.
Meanwhile, may I ask, does everybody have a pledge card? Teresa has them because
you can
now
say you
we
gave
also
it the office.
Understand the options on the card, so let's fill them out ahead of time. We'll be at the station tonight. We can hand them in.
Thanks, Bruce. It's too late, I wrote my check.
If we gave a check yesterday, do we need to fill out a pledge card? I gave a check to Revlon last night or yesterday afternoon.
You can take the pledge card home and send it in and write another check.
It's a way to hit you up twice. See, and I saw it's like dunking people at the county fair. They can call tonight and talk to the board members if they donate.
That's right.
All right, folks, don't get all happy and start walking around and taking breaks. I don't mean you're not doing something. I hear the levity that fills the room when we accomplish something. So
may I
go ahead, Carolyn.
Make a small point here. As
please.
Someone involved with and interested in the elections, I hope this pledge card does not result in my receiving a ballot from another station. Last time I donated to a couple of other stations, I ended up with two or three ballots. And what I'm saying is I hope that this is a reminder to us that we need to clean up our membership databases. Every station does. And please,
thank
if you,
you
get more than one ballot, let the Elections Committee know immediately. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carolyn. Point well taken. And that should be something that can be handled electronically in this digital age where we simply sort through and sift out things that aren't in your zip code. So, but donate anyway. We'll sort that out later. You know you're going to either not get the ballot you're supposed to or get too many anyway, so you know, let's try to fix that. All right. Next budget, Ms. Rosenberg, what's on tap for us next, please?
Okay. KPFA's budget, you're going to pick up on page 10, and it's going to go 10, 11, 12, and 13.
Like I said, enjoy that happy feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for some reason it's an oddly contracted spreadsheet, but it is pages 10, 11, 12, and 13.
And get out your glasses.
Yep, you've got the summary on page 10, and then the detail goes 11, 12, 13.
Thank you.
Well, there's a couple of things
to say
about this budget. One involves what came in and what happened to it. The other involves sort of the trajectory, which is the why. Let's do the first one first.
Everyone, please. We're on the next budget, and we're back.
Let's do the first one first. These two are the most complicated budgets in the sense that they came in a much more incomplete form for various reasons, which are different station by station. And accordingly, there were far more versions of each and more discrepancies to reconcile. But what we ended up with, just to be clear, is on total revenue, we're at $3.551 million. That's pretty much consistent on the listener revenue front. It's an adjustment to actuals. On the website income, which were a little over budgeted, it seems. The other major significant change over what had come in involves a reduction in the number of restricted grants because they were over-projected in FY 2011. They were projected at 60,000. The actual number was considerably lower. We have some year-to-date estimated FY 2011 numbers that actually aren't right. The net on the last financial statement was about $1,000, and I was told $5,000 came in, so a total of $6,000. So we were trying not to predict $60,000 going forward based on those real-time results. We're on page one. I'm looking at line 16. I'm just telling you the places where the number is contracting just slightly.
And column AB is the current.
Column AB is the current. And the original and all three of the budgets that came in from the LSB treasurer and the business manager there had the CPB allocations up at a 22% increase over the actual in 2011. And we had instructed all divisions to work from a potential 20% CPB decrease. So the NFC did adjust that number down. What we ended up with at 3.551 is consistent with the actuals in 2009 after audit, 2010 after audit, and the 2011 continuing. In 2009, it was 3.583. In 2010, it was 3.535. So far in 2011, as of the end of July, it was 3.31. And the number that we're working at for 2012 is 3.551. So as you can see, the numbers are pretty much on par. Okay. So moving on, there were not significant changes made to the budget. The personnel costs were adjusted slightly downward. What that basically was a drop down because there were severance expenses from the 2010 layoffs that were not going to recur the following year in the amount of about $60,000. So that is no longer budgeted. Other than that, there's, I guess, two other quick items that are worth noting. The tech consulting contract, this took a little bit of undigging, but the tech consulting contract had been for $108,000 annually. The NFC had to get a little bit of clarity about that because those expenses were divided between... It's actually not in the budget, so I'm going to have to explain to you how that went. This is actually an LSB-approved adjustment, but the $108,000 tech consulting contract that was divided between... No, it was not put in personnel or administration. It was placed in the accounts computer repair and website maintenance.
Okay. Yes, yes.
Was reduced.
I remember KPFA has a different situation. Well,
yeah. And I think that's pretty much it for significant changes that were made. So the trajectory on the budget, we are now currently looking at, again, revenue of 3.551. We're looking at operating expenses of 2.95 million, leaving us an operating surplus of $600,000. We are looking at anticipated shared services payments of $526,000, leaving us with a subtotal before capital of $74,000. And then we are anticipating $44,000 in capital expenses, including a balance due on a telephone system, replacement computers, four pieces of broadcast tech equipment that I'm told are needed, including an OmniOne processor, a Comrest, and a Crown Exciter, and $10,000 in leasehold improvements that involve security, leaving us with an after-capital surplus of $30,000. The trajectory on the budget is that an extension was provided until August 23rd to accommodate an LSB meeting scheduled, I think, August 20th? Anyway, that's Saturday before. I think it was August 20th. There was an LSB-approved budget. as of August 20th. On August 23rd at the National Finance Committee, the treasurer for that LSB appointed, submitted to the NFC a different budget than the one the LSB had approved, saying that there was an error in the budget that the LSB had approved. The error upped the income by a little bit more than $250,000, and a number of expenses were added in as a result, so it was a substantially different document. After about 2 weeks of back and forth between the business manager and the analyst in the Pacifica office, they were able to figure out that there wasn't really $250,000 in extra income there. There was simply some income posting in one box and some income posting in the other box. They switched all that around and basically came up with about the same figure. And so a third budget was submitted by the LSB treasurer to the NFC. That document came in the evening on September 5th, and the NFC picked it up on September 6th and worked from that document, which, of course, was not LSB approved. The general manager at KPFA was on an NFC finance call not on the 23rd, but on the week before due to travel schedules. So we talked about the budget in fairly general terms. And other than that, he weighed in somewhat by email. My understanding was he was sent the final NFC budget, said it was fine with him.
Great.
So essentially, that's where we are. I guess we'll take questions from there.
Sure.
Again, the major reduction was the CPB, which was brought into compliance with all of the other, with the standards that all of the other stations met, which was not to anticipate a CPB increase, and consistent with all of the budgets, travel expenses for PNB members were removed from administrative expenses, and Heath payback was also removed. Some stations were listing it and some others, so it was removed.
Thank you, Ms.
That's pretty much it.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I'll take a cue. You want me to defer to her?
Laura first.
Okay, certainly. Laura, please.
Tracy, I just heard...
Okay. I keep time. I keep time while we're doing this. So yeah,
that's, yeah, it's 30 minutes per budget.
We're fine. Please, yeah. I think it'll be fine. Thank you. Laura, please, go ahead.
I just heard you say that the budget that was not LSB approved, that the NFC received, but
no.
The LSB did approve the budget on August 31st.
Yeah. The treasurer didn't send it to the NFC.
Hold on. Let's just let Laura finish, please, and then you can respond. Okay. Thank you. Fine. Go ahead.
So the treasurer didn't send that approved budget to the LSB?
To the NFC.
To the NFC. Yeah, I didn't.
And so I'm sorry, Tracy, then...
Then clarify?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what she's looking for. Go ahead now.
At 5:30 on August 23rd, 2011 was the date that the NFC budget review was scheduled. We were dealing with another budget. We were scheduled to discuss KPFA at 6 p.m. At 5:30 p.m., in response to requests, the LSB treasurer sent in another document. She said that the LSB-approved budget of August 20th had an error and that she was submitting this one instead that the business manager had just prepared. And as I said, it had a $250,000 surplus in income and about six or seven expenses added, so it was a substantially different document.
Okay, and so the final document upon which the NFC
was
worked...
Was the third budget that...
I'm talking about after that. August 31st is when the LSB approved the budget after the error was found in it?
What the LSB did on August 31st was they held a meeting and passed a resolution...
Yes.
That said that if there was in fact $250,000 in extra income, this is how they would like to spend it. That's not approval of a budget resolution. And again, on September 6th, when we considered the budget, we were sent another budget by the LSB treasurer. She didn't submit the 823 budget. She submitted a third document, and that's the document that we worked on. That document didn't have the $250,000 in extra income.
And that was a result of
her working with management, or?
That was a result of her working with Efren Urinas in the national office to figure out what the mistakes were.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Lori. You can have your time.
Oh,
back.
And then there is the other issue of the depreciation that, as far as I know, wasn't in the earlier budget, and it got put into the budget while it was at the NFC after the LSB saw the budget.
Right, because we needed to be consistent about whether depreciation was a line item in all the budgets or it wasn't.
And
it was
and
in some. It was in LA's budget. It wasn't in KPFA's budget, et cetera.
And that was something that you were aware of after the last audit last fall? So I'm wondering why that came up at the last minute.
I wasn't aware of anything after the audit. What do you mean?
Oh, I just remember a series of email exchanges where you're trying to explain the depreciation, and you said after the last audit, KPFA's or the Pacifica-wide audit, that you were aware that depreciation was a problem?
I was aware that it was a problem,
yeah,
yes.
And,
I wasn't
and
quite sure whether it was going to be left in or out of all the budgets.
So that decision
was
waited from last fall till now to be made right at the end after at the NFC meeting.
It's not a decision that I would make. Excuse me. It's a decision that the foundation would make.
Yeah, if I may, that's a question more appropriately answered by the CFO, because the NFC chair doesn't make that decision and neither do the treasurers.
I'm just wondering how it got in there.
Sure, of course. And I think that's why we're going to tackle the depreciation issue as a separate topic unto itself. But that isn't... the NFC chair last year in the treasurer.
The answer is that it was in some budgets and not in others, and that standardization needed to be applied one way or the other.
Of course. Yes.
Whatever decisions were made as a result of a vote by the entire National Finance Committee with input from the CFO.
Of course.
They were not the decision of any single individual.
Of course, and I think everyone should be aware of that on all of these committees. Dan's next, and then Lydia, and then Campbell. Go ahead, Dan, please.
So I'd like to make a motion and then explain the basis for the motion, if that's
appropriate. You're always at liberty to make a motion when you have the floor.
Okay. So my motion is that the PNB approve the KPFA proposed budget with the exception of the item on line 116, which is the depreciation item, and that the disposition of that amount be as determined by the KPFA LSB in consultation with the station manager. Now,
I would second that.
Thank you. Now, my motivation for that is as follows. Laura and I came here with instructions from the LSB to oppose the budget on various grounds, but I think most significantly the fact that the budget as submitted was not approved by the LSB. And Article 7, Local Station Boards, Section 3, Specific Powers and Duties, requires approval by the LSB of a station for the budget. Now, despite that instruction by our LSB, we are concerned to have a budget in place by the beginning of the fiscal year. So we're looking for a way to compromise the matter, and hopefully a majority of you will support that compromise. I want to say a few things about our budget, because despite the tangled history, which I think, you know, Tracy has by and large presented accurately, our budget is conservative. It looks very much like our 2011 budget. And so there's nothing very aggressive or daring about it. I would point out that it does have a modest surplus. With respect to, you know, Bill's concerns as expressed yesterday regarding having the number in for depreciation in order to accommodate the fact that you might have unanticipated expenditures and so on, if you look at our budget, we have at line 111, $53,000 for repairs and maintenance. At line 112, $12,000 for computer maintenance. At line 127, $9,000 for technical maintenance. So we think if there's to be funds allocated for emergencies or for maintenance or unanticipated expenditures, they should be allocated in those lines, not as depreciation. And I think our budget, again, is conservative in all those respects, and we hope then that you will support the proposal
point of
that
order.
We've made.
Point of order?
Point of order is we've already voted to deal with the depreciation issue separately after we discuss each individual budget. So in that respect, I think this motion is out of order.
Dan, are you desiring to say something to that?
Well, I think we have agreed, but I don't think that makes this motion out of order. Certainly, there's no vote yet on that future motion. And I'm offering this proposal in the spirit of, you know, compromise and reasonable fiscal planning, and because we'd like to get this done and not go home with no KPFA budget.
I'll go ahead and honor the stack before I make a ruling on that, because I just want to hear the members for a moment. I have Lydia, then I have Campbell, then I have Bill, then I have Tracy. Lydia, go ahead.
Well,
please.
Prior to Dan's motion, I was prepared to send the budget back to KPFA. I feel very strongly that the prerogative of the LSB, it's one of the most important powers that it has, is to approve that budget. I do not believe that any of the directors here can know the needs and so forth of any other particular station as well as its LSB. That is why the bylaws were crafted that way. So I think that if that line item of depreciation wasn't in there and or whatever else was, even with the errors and everything, that it needed to go back to KPFA. But I try to defer to the degree possible to the directors from that station, so I would support Dan's motion. But I think that one of the ongoing issues is, just because a committee, even if it's one of our main committees, which is the National Finance Committee, since this issue was not brought to the full PMB for some kind of a global motion to apply to all of the budgets, then I think that that's kind of worrisome to me. So I think that if there is to be something that is that general, that's going to be that controversial, that's going to alter the budgets to that degree, there should have been a motion brought to the PMB accordingly. There has also been talk about perhaps not doing consolidated budgets, and this kind of an overreach ends up driving people who are neutral on the subject. I happen to have been one of them. I continue to support consolidated budgets. I am now kind of being moved the other way. And so I will support Dan's motion as a director from KPFA. My alternative would be to not approve it and send it back to the KPFA LSB.
Thank you. Campbell?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I certainly sign on to the comments that we just got from Lydia, and I would support the motion by Director Siegel. And I want to mention that serving on the National Finance Committee, I've seen how these things are engaged, and I am not impressed. I think that in so far as mention made of the handling of depreciation, when we look at just the statements that have been presented to us, they're all over the ballpark, and it's squirrely, in my view, to see that $113,000 instantly appears on the most recent budget for KPFA. And this is, I think, a serious problem, because what it does is it undermines the ability of KPFA to engage the expenditures that may be necessary so that it could generate additional revenues, because of a decision that, oh, gee, we have to put depreciation and put it in the operating budget as opposed to in a capital budget if it's going to be done. And to someone mentioned consistency, there isn't consistency, and you'll see it in the document that I had shared with you. I think that certainly we need to pass this on. We need to pass it, but I think the passing it has to be with the caveats that have been identified. Thank you very much, Madam
Thank
Chair.
You. I'm going to say one thing as Chair. We had this extensive discussion yesterday on the depreciation issue, and Nia was quite gracious about agreeing to take it up afterwards, and here we are stuck on the horns of the same dilemma again over the exact same issue, retreading the same exact ground, and I really must say that means that when we get to that point where Nia wants to bring something, she will then have to pick through which budgets had this done to them and which not, and we are doing exactly what we avoided doing yesterday, which was tackling the depreciation issue budget by budget when it was agreed that some budgets had depreciation and others did not. So I want to hear from the rest of the people, but I'm going to make a ruling in a second here. So Tracy, you're up next.
Well, a couple of things. It's obvious, but it bears repeating. We already passed two budgets with depreciation allocations yesterday. I have no doubt that the GMs and LSBs at those stations, if we were to pass this motion, would immediately recommend and insist upon the same privileges. And if we do not, in fact, honor them, then we are treating our different stations inconsistently, something that is both ethically a little questionable and, frankly, legally not a good idea. Differential treatment is what gets you in trouble. I am sure that every LSB and every GM would love to have a secret slush fund that they can use for whatever they wish. But in general, when you're dealing with a 501c3 foundation, you have one budget. We are one foundation. We file one tax return. And in the end, this entity of people is responsible for how that money is spent, what is done with it, and what financial planning process was undergone. We cannot split ourselves up into individual compartments that operate with no central supervision whatsoever. If we, in fact, do that, we are getting into some pretty slippery territory. And as we know, we get into slippery territory pretty frequently, and we're trying to tighten that up, and I think that essentially we have to. There is no one responsible for the fiduciary exercise of this foundation, all parts, except this body. No committee, nobody else. So we
Thank
need
you.
To take that seriously.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you. Well, it's out of order to have commentary from the public, but it's also it's ludicrous that we could have separate budgets. It is one organization. That's like an accounting fallacy that this could somehow be filed as separate organizations. So I am going to respectfully rule, Dan, we made a decision yesterday after an hour's worth of discussion on this very topic that we would not tackle depreciation budget by budget, but in fact would tackle them globally, that there'd be a motion that would be brought after the approval or disapproval thereof of the budgets.
I challenge the ruling of the chair.
I haven't even finished making it. Usually you wait till the person finishes speaking. But if you want to cut me off mid-sentence, that's okay. So since we agreed and everyone was in agreement and there was not a single objection to tackling the issue of depreciation, which we knew would arise in the budgets we had not yet looked at, and that would be tackled as a line item issue at the end of budget approvals so that there would be a standardized application to all of the budgets that had been passed, that those that seem to not have depreciation in them for some reason and those which appear to have too much, that there would be a motion to address that as essentially an amendment to the previously passed budgets. I think it's somewhat dilatory to then address them budget by budget if we are trying to save time and actually get them. The objections are duly noted, but I think yesterday rather extensive objections were noted to the depreciation issue, which is why we all agreed we would tackle this afterwards, just as a time-saving mechanism, if nothing else. Yes, Dan, go ahead, please.
So, again, trying to find a compromise in this knot.
Yes.
And not also wanting to waste a lot of time, I would propose then that the consideration of my motion to approve the KPFA budget be postponed until we make the policy decision on depreciation. again, I really want to play ball with people and we want to play ball with you, but our instructions are to seek the disapproval of the budget. Right?
I understand.
So if we go ahead now, in light of Summer's ruling, we are going to vote no, and we're going to ask those of you who support local control to vote no as well. And rather than go through that exercise, if we just put this off, we can get to it later.
Hold on, I had Bill next on the stack.
And I have to motivate why I'm challenging the chair.
Would you like to motivate your challenge?
Yes, I would.
Go ahead.
And that is that the difference between the budgets, one of which I voted for, which was KPFK that had the depreciation in it, even though I said I will go back to the LSB and I will ask for an amended amendment to our budget. So that was in the mix. The difference is that that was on the budget in front of us when we voted for it. And that is not the case in terms of KPFA. That's the distinction.
Okay.
So I didn't have a problem voting for that. I didn't have a problem voting for WPFW for the same reason, or KPFT, because they all had a budget with that depreciation line. That is not true of KPFA, and it violates the bylaws in terms of the prerogative of the LSB.
Thank you, Lydia. Your motivation is taken. I'm going to finish with the stack that we had, even though, okay, I had Bill next. And I mean, and that's a legitimate distinction, but I prefer that we all keep our word when we agree that we're going to handle things in a certain way, because I find it more efficient for the conduct of business.
You know, I appreciate Dan's concerns. You know, he brought up that, well, the KPFA LSB didn't review the budget that the NFC really worked on. It was a different version. And, you know, he was concerned about depreciation. The problem is that I see it is that, you know, we had a timeline that the PMB approved. Said all the stations, all the LSBs should approve the budgets by the end of July. And if they didn't do it, then the NFC would have the authority to, you know, make the budgets work. And we've had problems in the past where the budgets get delayed and delayed and delayed. And one of the problems that we've had more than once, and it was on the last audit again, was that all those budgets are not approved by the end of the fiscal year. And that's the reason for the timetable. One of the concerns Campbell brought up, although it was very legitimate, we need to be in good financial shape to, if we want to get any bank financing, if we want to attract grants, if we want to get major donations to support the move for WPFW and WBAI and anything else that comes up. You know, any of our stations could have a problem. We have, you know, WPFW's transmitter went out. Was it last year or before? And they didn't have money in the bank for it. Well, you got to get the money somewhere. And if you're in bad financial shape, or if your books don't look good, it's going to be hard. And so I think, you know, as our fiduciary responsibility, we need to do what we can to make us in as good financial shape as possible. I'd also like to point out, depreciation is not an imaginary expense. It's things that were purchased previously that were not put on the books then. It's really our friend. You know, I hate to say it that way, but it's, you know, depreciation lets you spread out the expenses over time. Say you needed a new transmitter and you had to spend $100,000 for equipment in 1 year, then, and it wasn't in your budget, or you budgeted for $10,000 a year or something like that. Well, with depreciation, you don't have to put it all in 1 year. You spread it out over time. But the fact that you didn't put it in as an expense in the year that you bought it doesn't mean that it goes away. You have to report it, and that's why the auditor puts it back in the audited financial reports. And if we don't do it, it's going to make it look worse that the auditor has to put it back in again. I don't know why it wasn't in the budget for last year, but it was put in the audited financial documents for the last several years, I guess every year. And I'm looking at the depreciation schedules right now for KPFA that LaVarne sent to the NFC several weeks ago. Just to give you an example, I mean, these are real expenses just for the current depreciation. This would be for the current year for office equipment and fixtures is $7,261. Computer systems, $4,723. Technical equipment, $7,732. These are broken down in a lot of things. Transmitter equipment and an antenna, $16,760. Building improvements, let's see, where's the total for that? Well, there's two things, $17,000, there's another $55,000. And so these are, the initial cost was much more, of course, but they were not recorded as an expense when they were first purchased. And so depreciation really helps being able to spread it out. But we can't just wave a magic wand and make it go away. And I think the prudent thing for us to do is approve the budget as the NFC passed it. And let's all try harder to get the budgets in on time and approved next year by July 31st, so that if there is a question, maybe there would be time to go back to the LSBs and work this out.
Thank you, Bill. And I just want to make one other thing clear in terms of my ruling. It's not that I do not appreciate your concerns, Dan, about the depreciation issue. It's that I feel that there were sufficient concerns about the depreciation issue in several of the budgets that I feel they should be tackled as a network-wide issue to resolve so that it's accurately reflected in all budgets.